What's good? Welcome back to the Pop Off Podcast, a conversation show about the best in the biz. I'm Ralph Compiano. I'm your host, and I'm joined as always by my co-host, Mike Cerrone, and our two guests on every Thursday, Jack Turner and Skylar Riesberg, the Song Draft Committee members. Mikey, how are we doing, baby?
We're good. We're over the Ravens' loss.
Are we?
We're in fresh territory.
Are we completely over this loss? I mean, it's been, what, 4 days? You're over the hangover?
I'll say that I can't turn on the TV or ESPN or any or go on my Explore page on Instagram because it's just the Ravens losing in every play the Ravens ever fucking lost. But I've turned the page, yes, okay? I'm trying to swallow this one and just get through it, get on with my life.
Well, we got two Chiefs fans with us. Boys, you didn't tell us so, but you told us so. You know, it was kind of that vibe last week. You know, Mikey was cocky. I was cocky. We were both on the Ravens, but you two reigned victorious once again. Turner, how does it feel to be the new Patriots?
You know, I don't mean to open up old wounds, fresh wounds, but how about those Chiefs? Wow. They're finding ways to win. They are becoming the Patriots. I saw a poll. They're the most hated team in America. Wouldn't want it any other way. Success breeds jealousy, baby.
Oh, Bergie, you feel the same way?
I got to relive this.
Yeah, I mean, to his point of success breeds jealousy, I love winning all the time. That's awesome, especially from the organization of losing a lot. But I don't like being hated. You know, I grew up during the Patriots era, used to dog on them, used to say everything they're saying about the Chiefs now. It's really weird how the script just flips eventually, but it's lonely at the top. That's all I got to say.
So true. I was a major Patriots hater. Now it just feels weird to be kind of in that seat. But I can't sit around and wish for less success to be hated less. So it's time to just embrace the villain era, I guess. Kansas City, you know, Midwest town, it's known for its prickly people. Not really. Boston's full of mass holes anyways. You know, shed some love for the Midwest Kansas City Chiefs. Came out the mud.
And I mean, two great guys with Travis Kelce and Pat Mahomes off the field. I mean, obviously a little biased being a Chiefs fan, but I also think I follow their lives a little more closely than maybe the casual fan. And they're getting absolutely villainized as like these awful, cringy, maybe that part's a little true, but just awful human beings. They're good guys. They're doing good things for the community.
Dude, I saw a video of Pat Mahomes in the locker room. The guy's got man titties, man.
How about it,
dude? The guy's
dude?
Got man titties.
You may not like it, but that's peak male body.
How about you do some sprints, Patty?
Sponsored by Coors Light.
He's a dad of two? Dad of two. He's got to have that dad bod.
He's not the one that's breastfeeding. He has no excuse. Cerrone, I was going to ask you, did that make you feel worse or better? Or how much worse did it make you feel after seeing that's the guy that you lost to?
That made me feel so much worse, bro. Lamar's probably got an 8-pack fucking vascular. He's a man. He's an absolute football player that is in Cancun right now, getting even more tan and black, but it is what it is. I saw that video of him, and I kind of expect him to be shredded, right? Like, I didn't expect him to look like a gym teacher. It's kind of weird at first. Like, it was not a good, like, he's got bigger nips than I thought. Like, it wasn't an attractive,
catch him in August.
I don't know. I did. That caught me off guard. It did. I don't know. It was weird. It was very weird.
He's a big dude, just kind of hefty. You need to be able to carry that weight throughout the season. I mean, we saw all these quarterbacks go out this year, and you know who didn't go out, really has never gone out, besides Lamar. Like what, one game for his knee is Mahomes. Dude plays every game because he's got that little extra pillow padding in his midsection.
I guess so.
I was looking at him, I was like, this guy could benefit from some tattoos. I'm not the biggest tattoo person in life in general. Like, I don't have like a fetish for it on women or anything like that. I probably won't ever get one. But I was looking at Steph the other night. Steph's shredded. Steph's gotten so much bigger since he got to the league. And I've always kind of imagined Mahomes is that
people,
like a little bit more tone.
Forget he's got the Steph, leg tats.
Mahomes does or Steph does?
Mahomes.
Do you know what they are off the top of your head?
I think there's like a cross in there somewhere. I mean, you know, per usual, you gotta bring it back to the faith.
Yeah, it is anti-Jesus to get a tattoo, I guess, to dress up your skin like that. But Cerrone, I have a larger question because we actually didn't talk about this on the pod with P and Bordy earlier this week when we were reacting to the games. Do you think there is a chance that Lamar gets over the hump in the AFC? Have you lost confidence in him overall? And then I have kind of the same question for Turner and Reesburg, as somebody who observes him with an unbiased view, right? You two see him a lot. You've watched him a lot. Do you think he can get over the hump? But let's do Cerrone first.
I was about to answer this question one way, and then I just completely swapped ways.
So you're mixed feelings.
I mean, if I'm being 100% honest, yeah, I'm 100% nervous. I'm terrified. But I am very confident he's going to put the work in. He's going to take this one to the chin and get better and learn from it. Please, for the love of God, learn from it. But there's a certain, like, in a game like that, there's a certain, you can't train for it who wins that game. There's not like a, you can only be so good at passing and running and calling the plays. There's a certain just it factor you need in a game like that, which worries me. Because you can't really train for that. But I think they're just going to keep getting better. They're going to be injury-free. They're going to be there in and out year after year after year, and he's got to get over it at some point. I mean, every year Lamar's played, he's gotten farther.
Yeah, you're not worried about him being the NFL's Embiid, because there are a lot of memes this week on Twitter of Lamar Jackson's body and Embiid's face cropped over it, or some people were saying he turned into Dak.
I mean, dude, Embiid's losing, like, I don't know, I feel like it's happened to Embiid a lot more. Lamar's only been to the playoffs 3 times, and he's, you know, he's lost one, he's won one game, he's won 2 games.
He's younger.
Yep. Yeah, he's younger. Exactly. Way more of a team sport. And you could just tell every year he's progressed. He made it to the AFC Championship. As much as it sucks that we lost, it's a progression. Mike,
to give you some positives, it's way better than last year when you thought he might be leaving the team. He might not have been a Raven this year. Now he's extended to a long-term contract. You have stability. You have a good defense.
Exactly.
You have some young receivers. There's things to get excited about, but the thing that's the scariest is Mahomes isn't leaving the AFC.
Nor are Allen, Burrow, Herbert, and Harbaugh now. Like, it's going to get – like, they were doing the top 5 NFC quarterbacks on, I think it was First Take or something like that.
That can't be good.
And it's what, Purdy, Hurts, Goff, Dak. Ooh. I think one of them said Cousins. And ooh. I'm like, ew, dude. It's just like so – it's just such a large discrepancy between that conference. Like, the AFC has the 5 or 6 best quarterbacks in the league. And I guess Caleb will be likely going to the NFC, but it's just there's a huge difference between. And now Stroud is in the AFC. Lawrence, if he ever gets better, Deshaun Watson was out a lot of this year. We could see if he ever gets back to that level.
Nah,
Turner's making a face, probably won't. But yeah, it's just as a Lamar supporter, not a Ravens fan, but like somebody who Lamar's my favorite player in the league. I think that, you know, they got to the AFC Championship this year. That's an accomplishment. First time doing it. First home game in Baltimore in the AFC. But what makes me nervous is, you know, we were talking about it earlier this week with PD and Bordy. We talked a lot about how the Baltimore skill position players were a lot better this year. They're still not that great. It's, you know, it's Zay, Andrews was injured, Beckham, and I don't want to make this a Ravens pod entirely, but like they don't have like a number one. Like I think Zay realistically is probably number 2.
I think he can do that totally.
Over 100 yards, you know, that game and a touchdown should have been 2.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And also, like, if Zay holds on to that ball for a millisecond longer, this podcast is talking about how the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl and not the Chiefs, and everything we just talked about gets erased if he's holding that ball for 1 inch longer.
I think
so. It's 100%. So hard to. And we just lost Mike McDonald. We could talk about that, which is big. I think our defense is still going to be just an absolute dominant defense, but it's not time to wash everything and learn and build off that.
And I think that's the best outside of that fumble receiving performance I've seen against this Chiefs team, maybe in 8 to 12 weeks or the whole year. Like, very few people had success against them because they have 2 number one cornerbacks in Trent McDuffie and Legarius Sneed. But not to transition too hard, I do want to talk a little bit about this Chiefs team and reasons why I'm just so excited about the success we've seen in the playoffs and how they've gotten there. They've had some ups and downs this year. We all saw it. I know there was a lot of games where I was frustrated watching, but I think as Chiefs fans have hopefully come to realize, is you got to take the long view approach and say, okay, you know, defense is improving. We still have Mahomes at the helm. There's ways we can win in the playoffs. We've done it before. We can do it again. And the way they had to do it this game or this playoffs is run the ball, play to your defense, don't commit turnovers, and let Mahomes make one or two winning plays. And that's kind of what happened that week. I was really proud of Andy committing to the run. Their game plan was getting out and jumping the Ravens, get up early, unload the clip, run your best plays, and make Lamar play from behind. That's the playbook on Lamar. Like, you don't want to play this Ravens team from behind. They're going to run the ball down your throat. The defense is going to stifle you. And they ran the ball 25 times, which is the most they've ran the ball in weeks out of the backfield. They only ran the ball for 69 yards. They weren't really successful doing it, but they shortened the game and continued to play to their defense. Mike, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I mean, this sucks. I have to relive this again. I was like, I didn't think, because they scored 0 points in the second half and still won the game. That's mind blowing. I have to live this again, and I'm going to get all frustrated again. But
this is the evolution of Mahomes, right? We talk about how competitive this guy is. He was 30 for 39, only had 204 yards, was taking what was given to him. Once again, playing to the game plan, playing to the defense, complimentary football. I don't think he would have been able to do that 5 years ago. He would have been too impatient, looking for the big play. But he's like, hey, how do we win this game on the road, at the bank? Shout out Chiefsaholic. Even more to his greatness. And
wait, who's Chiefsaholic? Who's that? Right.
Chiefsaholic. Bro, why don't you tell Mikey who Chiefsaholic is?
Is that you?
What? Honestly, if it ended up being Reesburg, that would be insane. But no, go ahead. Sorry.
Ralph, do you know who Chiefsaholic is?
I am aware of who Chiefsaholic is.
Yes. Chiefsaholic Turner. He's the guy with the Casey Wolf mask, right? Nobody sees his face. He goes to every game. That story. All right. So, Mike, if you're not aware, there's this huge Kansas City Chiefs fan. Don't know his story to date anymore. Turner could fill us in on what the Chief. Oh, he's in prison. Okay, fuck. So he would go to every game, and I'm pretty sure he would go to every game. He would be loud on Twitter, you know, always tweeting. He became a rallying point for Chiefs fans to look on Twitter, you know, what's this guy doing? What's this guy saying? There was one game that went on, they noticed a silence from this KC fan, from Chiefsaholic. And people were wondering, what's going on? What's going on with this guy? Turned out he'd been picked up, arrested, and was being looked into, investigated for a long string of bank robberies going on. And so it turns out banks? He just robbed a bunch of banks in the Midwest area to go to these Chiefs games, I'm sure, in part of it.
His money, yeah.
And so, yeah, he was going to every game, robbing banks, and then this beloved fan just is now in jail for life.
I mean, you got to give credit where it's due. If you're robbing banks in 2024, that's a skill. How you pull that off?
2019 to
Technology is still pretty good in 2019. You can't really rob it. This isn't Peaky Blinders. You're not just robbing banks like
until you get this. He shows up to every Chiefs game in his big, you know, KC Wolf headgear. He was robbing all the banks in the KC Wolf's headgear. Put it together. And
how is this not on ESPN?
Oh, this
They shut this story down though.
He was.
People do, but this should have been like a number one story.
So he was wearing the same getup. They're like, that guy who's on the Chiefs sideline every game.
He wasn't the smartest, but he had a good run of success.
Real run. And then he went to prison. He got out on bail, fled, was on the run for another 69 months.
That checks out. Yeah. That checks out.
Unbelievable.
God, that's crazy.
He's kind of like Mahomes, where like he can just scramble away like when you really need him to, but at the end of the
day,
he still
like,
on the run?
Has he ever been found?
No, they finally found
him. Oh, he's in prison right now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fuck, man. We should get him on the pod. That'd be lit.
We'll email his people.
His audio might be better than Clark's. All right, we got to move into our couple of segments.
Let me finish this Chiefs. I got a lot more to go. Come on, you can't cut me short on this Chiefs.
All right, do it.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. My bad.
All right, here we go. Patrick Mahomes, first guy in 30 years, salary cap, largest quarterback hit salary cap. So he's getting paid the most of any quarterback to make it to the Super Bowl. It's damn near impossible to build around the highest paid quarterback. Second highest paid quarterback this year, Tannehill. Makes less sense that their head coach got fired. Gabriel got fired. Yeah, Tannehill, second biggest, highest cap.
Good for that guy.
Unbelievable performance by the defense over the last 8 games. They've given up 34 points in the second half. That's 4 points a game on average in the second half. Defense is unbelievable. Travis Kelce, all year you're hearing this guy was fucking washed. You know, he's fallen off. He led the league in receptions from tight end standpoint, was 15 yards away from 1,000 yards, only played 15 games. Meanwhile, has the biggest sports podcast and is dealing with the scrutiny of dating the world's biggest superstar in Taylor Swift. Speaking of Taylor Swift, major miss on the song or on the Hottest Chicks TV pod. Hottest Chicks from TV.
What was she in?
No, I'm saying one of her good friends in the booth going to Chiefs games. Serena Vanderwoodson, Blake Lively, major miss out of you guys. Gossip Girl, all-time favorite. That would have been my number one pick. Harrison Bucker, unreal year this year. We saw the Lions fuck it up because they don't have any trust in their field goal kicker. One of the best in the league.
Michael Badgley.
And then the last thing today is just a little bit more love to Travis Kelce because this guy deserves it. He has the most receptions in playoff history, passing Jerry Rice. If next week, let's say 2 weeks from now, he goes for another 100 yards, he'll have 400 more yards than – or 500 more yards in third place, which would be Julian Edelman. That's the difference between him and Julian Edelman would be the difference between third place and 21st and Larry Fitz. This guy is just running laps across, like just laps on laps against the field right now. And I would love nothing more for him to come back for a few more seasons and pass Jerry Rice for all-time receiving yards in the playoffs. I am just so ecstatic. There's nothing better than having a whole week off. Mike wouldn't know anything about this in the last 10 years. So nothing better than a whole week to just get hard about your fucking team going to the Super Bowl. I'm just
elated. They lose, man. They're not going to.
Hey, man, I'm really happy that you did the homework, dude. Like, Turner, good job by you rallying off those stats. But at the same time, you got to do that for every team now. Like, this has to be something that you bring to every pod. We need stats on teams that are your favorite.
Hey, you know, you're interested in fucking Tar. You come in with all your facts about Tar. You're not interested in One Tree Hill. You know, the Ravens, fun fact, One Tree Hill, the team name is the Ravens. So the Ravens, that's not your cup of tea.
Oh, that's right.
Turner had to come in and get that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that stat. I like that. That was a good little we need more stats on this show.
I don't know if we do. That kind of exhausted me there towards the end. But honestly, you're right. Impressive stats, Turner.
Trying to get quicker and quicker the more Ralph was going,
if we want to hit it on a lighter note, the tattoo we were talking about earlier, I was doing some research on it while we were potting. It's a very ambiguous tattoo. I don't know the meaning, but it is a stairway to heaven kind of thing with a little boy walking up to heaven with like a cross there. That's on the back of his leg. Who knows what that means? Is that Mahomes walking up there? RIP, did a loved one pass? Or is it, you know, him calling out greatness? I don't know. Is it him saying like, I am
I love
God.
Van Halen?
Is Mahomes closer to Yeezy than we think? I think that's a takeaway I'm getting, but ambiguous tattoo. I don't know.
Okay. All right, can we move on now? You said RIP to a loved one. All right, let's move into our loved one. My favorite segment that we have on this podcast now, it is Spit or Swallow. If this is your first time listening, we have something that we spit, all four of us, and that's something that we find disgusting, something we don't like that's happened recently, something a little bit relevant, and then our swallow, something that we just love, that we can't get enough of, and we just want to keep slurping it on up. Cerrone, let's start with you. Give us, last week we did spit and swallow back to back, all of us. I think the best way is to do spit first. Let's start on a negative note, finish on a positive note, go around the horn here.
Okay.
So let's go spit one at a time. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, all right. So this week I'm spitting, dude. So it's not even like just Ice Spice. It is, dude, this song. This viral, like, you're not even the shit.
You think you the shit, bitch?
Bro,
you barely the fart.
That is the dumbest. Why the fuck is that even popular? Why the fuck is that viral? Why is that the number one hit on fucking the charts? Music has gone to shit. I'm not saying it's because of Ice Spice. But, dude, what is with all these random-ass rappers that have these hits that make so much money off them that there really isn't that much talent behind it? Am I jealous? Maybe a little bit. She's probably in a big house in the hills with a Urus that's pink, that's leather, fucking whatever. But dude, why are we giving the attention to these dog shit hits, this dog shit lyrics, like these dumb, like song, like it's just so aggravating that now that like I see this all over my TikTok, everywhere, yep. All over my Instagram. You know, new hit single, number one on YouTube, number one on the chart. It's unbelievable, man. Like, this is what J. Cole has talked about the past, like, 10 years. This is what, like, Eminem has talked about the, like, past, like, 10 years. She'll probably get a fucking Grammy for I'm Not the Shit, I'm the Fart. And it's just, like, she won't get a Grammy, but it's, like, the dumbest. Like, I'm just so sick of this trash being everywhere. Let's get back to, like, good rap. good hip hop.
I wish we had Petey and Bordy here so they could come in on misogyny corner, because I got to ask this question. Would she be big if she didn't have a dumpy on her?
No.
No, probably not.
I mean,
well,
if she was, though, Ralph,
like that's just
that's
how
a stable female rap game. But she didn't paint that tank. Like Little Kim started that. Whoever was before Little Kim started that. There's always been fatty.
Like, Little Kim was nice with it though. Nicki Minaj nice with it. I don't think Ice Spice is nice with it. I don't think Ice Spice is like.
Mike, are you familiar with Side Talk, New York City?
Yes.
They're the people that produced this song and made the music video, which I thought was the craziest collab crossover I've seen in a while.
Oh, yeah. I remember you saying that. And I mean, yeah.
KD, don't you want to come to the Knicks? Like those guys. Fuck Trae Young. Fuck Trae Young.
Where is that the Joe Byron guys too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, good for them. Get your bag. Get your money while you can. I just been so. It seems like every day now another spoof song or a funny like tagline, and like again, like it's not even a feat. Like Nicki Minaj has bangers. Nicki Minaj can rap. Like she's talented. She's like skilled. But like enough with this. Just like are you gonna like who's listening to that? Is it you guys? Is it Skylar? Are you listening to that?
I might watch the clips. But I'm not listening to the clips very actively. Like I hear it, and I never listen for more than 12 seconds.
Yeah, like what is
one of those kinds of things?
Pass?
Like I've never like got in on my iPhone, gone to Spotify, and clicked on Ice Spice's profile and be like, let me go through her greatest hits. That's just not my vibe, right? But like at the same time, I understand why she's so big. Turner said it. This is the world that we live in. It's because of the dumpy on her, and she does have. But yeah, it's catchy, right? That's the thing. Popcorn pick is kind of a catchy thing, and it's like there's not a lot of, I don't know. There's no real substance to it. What can I play when I want to shake my ass?
This is where I'll give credit to Ice Spice. I think she knows what she is, and it's not like she's dropped a fat album, 20 song album. She's like, I'm just gonna keep dropping a really catchy TikTok hit every 2 months, play it up. That's kind of the role and the lane I'm in. So while I agree, I think the music is subpar, she's doing a good job of subsidizing it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, she's making a bag. I do the same thing. We're all trying to make money out here. It's been so much of it the past. And like everybody, even Nicki, like remixing some old song. Like it's just, I don't know. I think music has just been really weak just in general lately. And it's just, I don't know. It's kind of sad lately that this is another number one hit, and she's talking about like farting. Like
Mike, would you rather be the shit or the fart, dog?
Bro, shit. All right, I'll be a cornfield shit, fresh off Chipotle the day before. But that's my.
No, you're right. I mean, it is frustrating. Man. It's definitely frustrating because it's like, damn, people are just getting dumber, and it's just the internet just staining all of our brains. You know, I saw a report the other day or a study that people's attention span has dwindled down to 3 seconds.
Yeah,
that is a crime. Like that's
Ralph,
so
you know
bad.
That.
That's honestly, I'm probably in that fucking camp. But I'm not the smartest.
Like he said, he wasn't on Twitter earlier. I'm deep on Twitter every day, but I'm not on TikTok. So it's like this weird difference.
That is weird. I'm always
like,
on TikTok. Yeah.
Like Chiefaholic, huge on Twitter. Apparently not on TikTok.
Maybe on TikTok.
Haven't seen much of it on Twitter.
Yeah,
it's like a TikTok video of Chiefaholic.
Yeah,
I've never seen a TikTok video of Chiefaholic. I've only ever seen him on Twitter.
You got to look it up.
Locked up
but
for a
with
minute
our
now.
State of the music that we're talking about right now, with it kind of sucking, I try to look at it with the same thing Turner was talking about as Chiefs fans. You know, you got to look at it with the long way. You know, where are we going? I'm hoping this is just a phase in music right now where we've been alive through some poor times in music. Like there are some songs that we go back and listen to from like 2011, 2012, 2010, of course, but it's also an era, at least just remembering back on, it's not like it was the greatest time in music. It was a transitional phase. That's what I'm hoping we're going through now. We're experimenting. People are trying to find sounds, and we start here, and then it just hopefully it leads us better somewhere. Because right now, women only really have a path to rap about shaking ass, getting ratchet, and that's what's going to sell for them. Unless you're like a Nicki, then you can branch out a little, get deeper. People will respect you. But otherwise, like that's where we are. And so I hope we just keep going.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, there's two sides of the coin here, because there's a lot of dude rappers that rap about stupid shit, but there's also like the clever
and
ones.
That's and not
like,
much
on the
better.
Female side of things, like we have like no Mike, name. Have you ever listened to a Tier, yeah, No Name or Tierra Whack or something like that? Like there's still
Young
artists like
I
that
love
out
Young
there.
Ma. He wasn't doing dumb fart shit, bro. Ooh. Young Ma has bangers, bro. But she actually could like rap though. Like there was good verses in there. Like this is just like I don't even know. I don't even know what it is, and it's just like that was
she came from a
straw that broke the camel's back.
But she's not comparable to Young Ma. Young Ma is like Key Glock of like the female rap game.
Oh, that's
Ice
my
Spice
other.
Is
I
like
can't believe you said that.
Ice Spice is kind of like Playboi Carti or Yeet, where it's just like it's just sounds. Like people just like it because they gravitate towards the sound. Like there is something about her voice where I'm like, huh, I've never heard anything like this.
Yeah.
It's rare. It's unique. It's different. So she has that New York swagger. Like people like it. And then obviously, like Turner said, she's subsidizing the shit out of it. She performs well on social media. You know, she goes on these fucking Twitch streams and on these complex shows. And it's like that's how you get attention now.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
and sustain the attention too.
Yeah, you can't hate on her. And she's making some money. I just like it. Just was. Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully, like Reesberg said, we get into some better music. Maybe Kanye saves us all, please. Yay!
Please.
I know you're listening.
So you're spitting shits and farts. Turner, what are you spitting?
You know, mine is very similar. It's you know, just society has fallen, man.
You're spitting all of society?
No.
God, your team's going to the Super Bowl. Damn it!
I'm spitting a 78 year old. You all know him. He goes by the name Vince McMahon. That's who I'm spitting. Have you guys seen recently? He's, you know, kind of under some pressure. He's been under pressure for the last year and a half. This guy, if you're not aware, created the WWE. Also, you know, was a part of the storylines within WWE. Like insert himself in the storylines, was kind of a wrestler, actor. Turned it into a multi-billion dollar business. They recently sold it off. But he was still had kind of a presidential role. Recently, he's getting basically sued by a former coworker or subordinate is probably a better word.
Oh,
that he was more or less pimping out. He was kind of sex trafficking her amongst, you know, the WWE world. I'm spitting Vince McMahon. If you want your day ruined, you can go out and read a little bit more about this. I think that there should be a cutoff. Once you're over the age of 55, like some of the things that he was texting just should never be texted. Honestly, okay, that sounds wrong because like the things he was texting are wrong for anybody. But there is wrong once you're
especially
like
coming from him
beyond retirement status. If you're in the car listening with Bordy, if you're listening with a child, maybe earmuffs or turn off the pod now or skip forward a little bit. I'm gonna read two sentences.
The text?
Yeah, ooh. We're going to just enjoy this together.
Ooh.
Here we go.
Cringe. You get your panties ripped off and three big black dicks in all three holes at the same time. Way up your pussy and way up your ass as far as they will go, but even further. I'm going to stop there. The texts go for another two paragraphs. There's a whole litany of them.
Who are these two?
So this lady, she was working. Yeah, we know. She was working for Vince McMahon. Stuff kind of got off the rails, you know, in one of those weird kind of power dynamic situations. He said, hey, I'll pay you $3 million to sign an NDA because, like, obviously this got a little out of control. I've come to my senses. I shouldn't have said that.
Post-nut clarity.
Yeah, post-nut clarity. So he paid her $1 million, right? And then he just didn't pay her, like, the other $2 million. And she's like, I'm getting my $3 million, like, if that's the last thing I do. So then took it public, took it to court. And Vince McMahon got kicked out. This guy was a staple of just television, staple of just kind of society. One of the longest running television shows, Monday Night Raw, Friday Night SmackDown. But I'm spitting this guy. Fuck him. Never want to see his face again. It's all plastic surged up. Yeah, this bad guy. Bad guy, Vince McMahon.
Can we do two more sentences? You don't got to do the whole two graphs, but give us two more sentences.
Oh, God.
Pick your favorites.
Oh, you shouldn't be texting stuff like this when you look like this. I just looked at mine.
Oh, man.
Yeah, bro.
The older you get, the creepier.
This is Hollywood.
You asked for it. You gag and convulse as those big black cocks pound away. It feels like from the start you're being a but it's just made you come nonstop. Just one continuous constant orgasm and just be Those big black dicks squirt their loads of cum inside you.
Why does he keep pointing at black dicks?
Those are your favorites.
Yeah, why does he keep talking about, he's white, right?
Yeah, he's talking about black dicks.
Nothing has changed recently with his skin tone.
Go out if you want to learn a little bit more about this. There's a lot more where that comes from. But that's what we're shooting today.
Hey, get your bag, girl.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get your bag. Go get that 3 mil.
Old guy.
Dude, I saw this. I didn't know he was a WWE guy. I mean, not that it makes it any worse or changes anything, but it puts a face more.
It almost makes it make more sense.
It almost, yeah, it does. It's a weirdly good point.
All right, Bergie Berg, what are you spitting?
So my spit actually went right, coincided well with Mike's. So my spit's got to be, I had a few I could choose from, but I'll keep the theme running. And we got some beef going on this week, big, with Nicki Minaj and, why am I blanking on her name?
Cardi B.
Give it to me.
Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan Thee Stallion, thank you. We got some beef going on. Nicki's releasing, you know, some verses.
Oh, Bigfoot or whatever? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. Okay, continue.
So we got some beef in the rap game amongst the women. And, you know, normally if it was two men beefing, people say it's good for the game. And I think you could say that for the women, but I'm not sure. I don't think we're at that phase. I don't know. I just don't know if that's in the best interest of women in the rap game. You know, why are we shitting on each other?
Spice's career. That wouldn't be that awful.
Take some shots at Ice Spice. Eminem did. I think Eminem did. And Ice Spice said, I don't give a fuck. So she just avoided that beef. She said, why, like, I'm living rent-free in your head. Like, why is a grown man in his 50s got time to think about me like that? She kind of ended it pretty good. Eminem probably won't touch it again. It probably wasn't a big deal. He was poking things, seeing what sticks. But, yeah, I got to spit the women's rap beef. Tell them to stop it. This isn't Missy Elliott and Lil' Kim. That's not what we're doing here. This is Nicki Minaj and Megan Thee Stallion. You guys can
cut it out. Play nice.
Play nice.
Berg, I had the exact same experience. I had
to send you to your room.
But for the same reason? For the same reason?
Well, no, for a different reason. I had it because it feels like an orchestrated rap beef.
Yeah.
And I like the pure, true rap beefs where, like, you know, it feels like it's very timely because Megan just announced her first tour since like 2019. You know, she's going on tour this summer, her Hot Girl Summer Tour. And it's her first like real big global tour. And Nicki just had an album drop. So it feels like it's designed by, like, their marketing teams. Like, hey, let's get some beef to generate more streams and more listens. Let's even profit on this a little bit more. I do love rap beef, though. Like, I love the Drake and Meek Mill, the Drake and Pusha T, the Jay-Z and Nas. MGK and Eminem. But it's just, it feels just so artificialized. It doesn't feel real to me at all. So I don't buy into it. Like, I haven't listened to Bigfoot. I've only heard the snippets because I don't believe it.
Would you say that, like, Nicki Minaj and Cardi B have kind of had like a little lingering beef for some years now? And like, they don't really hop on songs together. They're both from New York. And it feels like Meg Thee Stallion's kind of sided with Cardi B from the get go now at this point. Where I feel like there's kind of like these teams forming. Ice Spice is with Nicki.
Hey, you do your thing, Nicki, and these bitches. Come on. I'm fucking all on Team Nicki, though. I hope it's a banger. Yeah, dude. I hope it's a heater. And these fucking little Dunkin' Donuts drinks.
All right, I am spitting Ben Simmons. He made his season debut, but he returned to basketball last night. Or two nights ago when people are listening to this. And he got a triple-double. He played really well. He said to a reporter, he's like, are you looking to, you know, push the ball on a fast break more often now that you're more comfortable with your game? He's like, every time I get the ball, it's a fast break. Love that. Not spitting that. They had a back-to-back. After he played great in his first game back, he sits out the back-to-back. You're healthy now. Like, you've gotten all of this rest. Play in the fucking back-to-back. It's so simple. It's so frustrating. The NBA has gotten to a point in the regular season where, you know, the big games, the premier games, like the Thunder and Timberwolves the other night was fucking awesome. I went back and I rewatched the entire game. The defense was tremendous. Those are the kind of teams that are going to succeed in the playoffs. And then you have teams like Atlanta who don't guard a fucking soul to save their – and then I saw a clip of Charlotte the other day. They're on the bench and LaMelo's hurt and they're down 25. And the camera cuts to the Hornets on the bench and they're all laughing
this
their
is,
asses
their
off.
Their head coach got thrown out.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah. Their head coach got thrown out. They start laughing.
You rewatch regular season games, though. That's unbelievable.
Not that's, rewatch, but like I didn't have the chance to watch it, so I have League Pass.
That's awesome.
One of the great things about League Pass is you can just watch a whole game and fast forward. Like, there's no commercials or anything like that, and then you can also watch condensed games, so they're like 25 minutes long. So if I don't have time to watch the whole thing, I'll watch the condensed game. But that's a huge highlight.
I applaud you for that,
Ralph,
because they have YouTube highlights where you can go and rewatch the whole thing. And
I
also DVR everything for college basketball on YouTube TV, and I've never gone back and watched a full game. I don't think I always want to, though. So I actually genuinely
should. It's
for
fun.
Doing that.
Like, so I did that for the NFL playoffs, right? I had a coach of those tournaments, and I couldn't watch the games. So I would go back and I would just fast forward and, like, you know, fast forward through a punt. Like, unless there's a punt block, then I'm like, oh fuck, I missed the punt block or something along those. But none of that happened. So it's a rewarding experience.
You got to get you on the sidelines.
Impressive, sure, Ralph, but. Good for you. I don't know. You were just telling me the other day that you're too busy to do this or that. You're rewatching Hornets games. Maybe that's why you're too busy. Dog.
No, not the Hornets.
He's ready to the phone call. Okay?
He's ready to be the next
man
up. Like, we need another Fran Fraschilla.
That's at the same time, I'm not doing it in my free time. It's a half-assed watch, I guess I would say, because I have three monitors at work. So my one on the left, I just like I have it on. I always have a
triple
game on.
That's elite.
I'm set up.
You know,
all right,
Fran
Fraschilla.
No. Fran's always the guy who they go to, and they're like, hey, you know, they want some insider info on some players. He always seems to have the story. You know, like he knows me personally, cares about him. I may be mistaken with another reporter, but that's Ralph. That's what you're ready to do, ready to fill in. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if I have the reports, but I could definitely give you some analysis because I don't have sources. I just saw this stuff.
Those come.
Twitter is my source.
Yeah, you'll get some sources.
Yeah, we'll get – you will. You'll get some sources.
Yeah. But that's also not like my area of journalism. I was never interested in that route. I was always interested in the analysis. All right, but let's move into Riesberg. Who are you swallowing? What are you swallowing?
Ooh, I'm swallowing – the Future Birds. They are an artist. They are performing in Denver this weekend. You know, shout out to one of our good friends, ooh, Evan Dowd, friend of the podcast. Evan, salute you today, brother. They are performing in Denver, and you know, I got some other calls this weekend. I'll be busy. I won't be able to go and see them at the Mission Ballroom. Tickets are like $25-$35. They're dirt cheap because people don't respect and appreciate them. I would love to be there. I've seen them live.
Wait,
once.
What kind of music do they play?
They play indie like rock. Country indie rock. It's a good term, like country.
That's
folk.
Hot right now. I love that right now. The Lumineers
listen to
are
their
hot
top
right
three
now.
Songs.
I'm all over the Lumineers.
Lumineers would be more like
Ophelia.
Mainstream.
Okay, all right.
They're a little more rock than that than Ophelia.
Okay,
but not much. But that's because Ophelia is not rock.
Lumineers are one of the biggest bands in the world. This group's still up and coming.
They have
but
maybe 100,000 listeners a week.
Like
there's so many genres.
Okay,
I'm sure they fit into their
well,
own.
Send me
but
a
yes,
couple
totally.
Songs. Send me a playlist. I'll bump them. I do listen to a lot of country and bands like that.
Country's probably not the best to describe them, I guess, but they're just from Nashville, Tennessee,
fuck
so that's where
it.
I
fuck
put
these
them.
Guys. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, they're from Nashville, Tennessee, but
I think so.
The lead drummer, I believe, is from Iowa and has some ties to my brother. He knows the guy, so.
Yeah.
Iowa's one big family, man. You fuckers are all just one big family.
You're right. Yes, man. Last time they performed, they went to not Bel Air Ballroom, but the place downtown.
From Rhode Island, Mikey. Everybody knows each other in Rhode Island.
Yeah, off Grand Avenue.
Way smaller.
West G.
I went to the concert and they're so small, we stuck around after and it was the only time I'd seen tables set up at this place. There were actual tables to stand around because I don't think enough people were coming.
At a
they
concert?
Stuck around after. Yeah.
I say that's not a good look if you got tables at a concert.
Oh, they definitely that's why their tickets are $25-$30. They want to get those up, but they hung around. They took pictures with the fans and they were definitely looking for the next hottie toddy to tell them like, what bar are we going to with you girls?
Ooh,
I don't think they found
like
him. I don't think they found him, but they were looking.
We love a band that's humble enough to flirt with the audience. I love that shit. It's like, you go to a Drake concert, like every girl wishes Drake would point him out. These guys are the inverse of that. They're like, who is the
you
biggest
guys see us up there? Did you guys see us up there? Or were you just eating? Okay.
Well, they came out like, you know, we were the band that just played. And everyone had to be like, oh, shit, what's up?
It's you.
You were. I recognized you. No, that's great. All right, Mikey, what are you swallowing?
Okay. I am going – I kind of had two. I'll do the funnier one. So this is, I was actually going to tell this, I was going to swallow something, but this actually came up before we were talking about it. I am going to swallow, there's a story behind, but I'm going to swallow Chipotle. I went to the doctor's, I think it was 3 or 4 days ago. I've been getting this skin rash. Now, don't worry, this will all come full circle, gentlemen. Getting this skin rash on my arm, all this weird shit. And long story short, they can't figure out what it is. That it's, it ends up being an allergy. They test me for a bunch of like a little prickly thing. They give me an allergy test. Turns out they're like, listen, do you eat a lot of dairy? I'm like, not really. Like I eat pretty like clean, like protein shakes, avocados, fruits. Like, you know, I'm, you know, pretty healthy dude. I do eat Chipotle a decent amount, probably like 3-4 times a week. She's like, well, what'd you get? What do you get in your Chipotle? I'm like, oh dude, sour cream, cheese, pretty much just dairy. Long story short, she's like, well, how often do you? I was like, well, I think it's like 3-4 times a week. Then I was like, oh, well, this week I had it like every day. And then I was like, well, last week I actually fucking, I had that shit a lot too. This lady has me going through my bank receipts. I've had Chipotle every day since November 17th. I'm not even, and Ralph, what did I say a couple weeks ago? Remember Miles Bridges? Or who's
Mikal
the guy?
Bridges,
that,
yeah.
Mikal Bridges. At Chipotle. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm not saying I've spent 50 grand on 50 grand in Chipotle, but I've become pretty close. This lady has me going through my receipts. I've eaten it every day. Now it's what, January 20th or
31st?
30, Jesus Christ, I'm a mess. I've had it every day. I didn't eat
Give
it Christmas
a sec. I'm gonna pull
or Christmas
up how many days
Eve.
That is.
I've had it every day, Reesburg, since November 17th. Can you fucking believe that? And what did I eat before the pod? You fucking name it. So you know what? It's time to recognize Chipotle as one. It just simply is. Usually places to eat, there's three things. It's either fast, healthy for you, expensive. Woo! Very rarely are they all three. Chipotle's fast, it's pretty healthy, and it's not that expensive. And God, it just doesn't miss, man. I eat it so much. It's always there. It's reliable.
You
it's
have
cheaper.
Eaten it longer than Jesus was in the desert and fasted. Well, that's 40 days. We're over that. You're at a 75,
yeah.
Man. 75
yeah.
consecutive
and
days.
And also, I'm going to plug them one more time. I have the app, so you get like the points. It's almost like fucking DraftKings for Chipotle. I'm getting free guac all the time, free chips. On your birthday, they throw you 2 free entrees. Shout out Chipotle, man. You guys keep doing it.
Free entrees on my birthday.
Yeah, that's my swallow. And then my other random swallow.
What's, no, go ahead. What's the order? Give us the whole Chipotle thing. I want to know the order. Are you getting the same thing every single day?
No,
I know you've mixed in quesadillas here and there. You love the chips and guac. I love
that,
the guac. But what's the order look like?
Okay. I'll give you my recent kick of Chipotle. You got to do the mobile app quesadilla. A lot of the Chipotles, they're all just like stick up their ass. They can't do the quesadilla in person. But if you do the mobile app, you do carne asada with the fajita veggies with cheese in the quesadilla. The three slots, you got pinto beans, white rice, sour cream, and then the vinaigrette on the side. I mean, you just, what else do you want in this life other than a Raven Super
you
Bowl?
Do the black
maybe
beans.
Next year and my ex to love me. I don't know. But as far as food, try it. I swallowed Chipotle.
Turner, Reesburg, did you guys know vinaigrette existed at Chipotle?
Because no.
Mike put me on
it. Oh, my God.
Jammers the game.
I don't know how big of a vinaigrette guy I am, but Turner would love
Trust
it.
Me. No, you'll, it's, if you put it on the bowl, you put it on the burrito, it's game changer.
It's not in the slots, like at the like wherever like they're dipping into, like you know, grabbing everything. They keep it like in the fridge. It's like in the back, but like underneath the beers, and it's just like these little cups of like raspberry vinaigrette. Delicious.
Like any great regular at a bar, right? Do they know your name there? Like, hey, Mike, what's good,
bro? It's funny you say that. I went to the same. I have stories like this all day. There is a guy. I used to go to the same Chipotle every day. When I used to knock, and one time I walked in and the guy was like, how's it going, Mike? I was like, oh, Gabriel, how we doing? And he's like, listen, man, bad news. And I was like, what could you don't know anything about me. Why are you, what? Bad news. What do we're at your, like, and he goes, so during the summer, they had this limited, this like El Pastor chicken, like Diablo chicken fire. Yeah. He goes, listen, man, they're canceling the chicken that you always get. I go, fucking A, Gabriel. I didn't know you could possibly give me bad news, and you just gave it to me. So they do know me. and they feel a connection with me, and I do with them as well. Yeah, I'm a regular, man. At like two or three where I live over here. It just doesn't miss. I'm gonna give them their flowers while they're still alive.
That sounds a lot.
I hope that only brought you and Gabriel closer.
It did. I sucked his dick, but that's a different pod. Anyways, next up.
Turner, go ahead. What'd you have?
I found out that Potbelly sauce was canceled. I wanted to kill myself.
It sucks when a fucking, I mean, I could imagine that. Like, that's like your 11th reason, dude. Or your, what is it, 13th reason?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, Potbelly sauce was discontinued. The and they're just like, fuck, man, we lost.
I would text this group
chat. What was Potbelly sauce?
I would group chat. You guys were both in it like once every 2 weeks.
I remember hearing, and I frequent Potbellies.
There was just not a lot of empathy amongst the chat. They were like, okay, why are you texting us this? Like, sorry, I'm just going through like a deep depression about Potbelly sauce. It's like a nice little purple vinaigrette, dude. Like, you like your vinaigrettes, Mike. That's what I'm picking up.
That's exactly what, bro, you would love the, that's right down Chipotle's vinaigrette aisle. You would love it. Yeah, dude, when you have a certain food go-to and it gets discontinued, man, like almost like the nacho fries at BK, like when those went, like it does really suck when you have your go-to.
Dude, you want
for
answers.
No fucking reason.
Hey. On April 4th, I texted this to a group chat. Ralph and Wolf, aka Reesburg, were both in this. Still can't believe they don't have any Potbelly sauce anymore. This should be bigger news. I can't find an article on it or nothing. I need some closure. No response. No nothing.
Well, no thumbs up.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
No ha ha.
Ralphie laughed at it, but that's like worth what, dude? Ralphie won't give anything.
That's almost worse than whatever.
There's probably a laugh after no answer. Like a couple hours later, laugh because he's like, that one didn't reach the audience today.
You know what? Like, if I see it's a blank message in a group chat and it's like 13 dudes, like, no doubt is, like, I'm going to give Turner a ha-ha so he feels a little bit better. But apparently it doesn't mean anything to him. So no more ha-has for Turner.
There's nothing better than getting like 6 or 7 ha-has on a message in a group chat.
Oh, yeah. I'd swallow that shit all day.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good swallow.
That's when you know you get you hit everyone's fancies right there.
Mm-hmm.
I only get that in my basketball like parents group chat. Like,
oh,
we had a tournament on my birthday weekend. I never get that in No Doubt. I never get that in the pop off pod. People just like
tough.
See my text, scan it, move
haters,
on.
Man,
but in the parents group chat text, it was like, you know, my birthday weekend and we had a tournament and I had a game at 8 a.m. on Sunday and I had a birthday party planned for Saturday night. So I told them they were complaining that we played at 8 a.m. because we went 3-0 before bracket play and bracket play starts on Sunday, right? And they're like, why do we play at 8 a.m.? So I texted back. I was like, yeah, it's like they didn't even know I was having a birthday party tonight. 13 ha-has.
That's
all
a great
13 of them.
100% chat,
from
Ted,
the field. They were loving it. And dude, the mom, Cerrone. I mean, you come to one of these games, man. I've said
it
before.
Boxers.
They're not even MILFs, Cerrone. They're just hot for women. Like, they're just hot people in general. It's not like they're like hot for moms. It's just they're smoke shows across the board. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Any of them listening right now?
Can I be an assistant coach? I'll just break.
Any of your little kids listening? Yeah, please do.
Come through. No, please, for the love of God, do not. I don't even want to talk about it. All right, Cerrone, you got a mini swallow? You're swallowing a little baby pill?
Oh, yeah. So this is just hilarious, but do you guys know what like a hot girl walk is?
Yeah.
Of course.
Bro, I do
30
that,
minutes,
and it's awesome.
Incline or whatever?
No. Oh, this is – oh, you guys are in for one. So a hot girl walk is when in the morning you walk – to get your coffee. And I've been doing that. I live in LA, obviously. So it's like a little 10, 15 minute. You throw on a little fit, throw on your backwards hat, you throw on your AirPods, your podcast going. You do your little hot girl walk, your little hot boy walk to coffee and walk back. It's a vibe, man.
Walk.
It kind of gets the juices flowing, gets the morning sweat going, gets the endorphins going. The walk gets the poop going. So by the time you drink your coffee and the walk back, you can just empty into the toilet. I'm swallowing the hot girl walk. I think it's you ladies are on to something, and I fully back it. So to the ladies that listen to this podcast, I tip the cap. I'm swallowing
up in the Midwest.
I'm bought in.
I think I'm going to do that tomorrow. That sounds really nice.
Give it a shot, Wolfie.
I might too.
Wear my tightest pants.
Throw the Lulus on.
There we go.
I wasn't.
Dude, you're
going to
be
stopping attention.
I'm going to go to a coffee shop 15 minutes away too, so I can get my podcast.
That's the perfect range.
I want to experience what you're experiencing.
It's a great way to start the day. I'll say that. I've been doing it for like a week now, and it's nice. I enjoy it.
Probably a little warmer there. I'm in Chicago. I've gone for 30-minute plus walks the last 2 days. No point A to B back. Just getting where you need to go. Sure, you could hop on a bus or hop on a train, but just get that walk off. Strut it up.
Fresh air.
Get the AirPods in.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It is.
That sounds lovely. Turner, what are you swallowing? Are you swallowing walking?
You know, I'm probably I'm swallowing something that Mike's really familiar with. Walking and knocking. I'm swallowing Girl Scout cookies, dude. Come on now.
Oh,
you're walking and knocking all around Girl Scout girls, this time of year. Yeah, dude. It's one of the best treats every year. You know, we all get excited for it.
What's your go-to?
I was gonna power.
I'm gonna judge you.
I'll power.
Oh, perfect. Let's go. Cookies. Let's go.
But real quick, before I go, I just want to hear all three of you guys. Number one, ultimate number one cookie.
The Frozen Hawaiians.
Yeah, I was going to say Samoas.
Is that the coconut one?
Yeah,
the Samoas.
Samoas.
Okay. All right.
Don't readjust your order. I saw some clicking. No,
Samoas are number one. I've been eating them for breakfast.
Okay.
Oh.
It's that good.
Oh, that's right. You said that.
I'm not a big breakfast guy. Sometimes I'll eat some cinnamon toast. You know, cinnamon toast crunch, that is. but lately, now that I got these – they're calling them caramel delights. Don't buy into this. They're Samoas. Don't let them fool you. So that's number one. Number two, it's pretty obvious. It's Tagalongs.
Why are you changing the name?
Tagalongs are number two. They call them peanut butter patties now. Lame. Number three, Thin Mints. They're keeping that the same. Little life hack, Thin Mints. Throw them in the freezer. Ralphie likes his frozen. Throw them in the freezer. Buy a big thing of vanilla ice cream, a big old tub. Make Thin Mint milkshakes all week. All week, dude.
Wow.
The milkshakes. The lemonade for number four. That's like the one with the little lemon frosting on the backside. And then number five, we're going to just go with Trifoli's. It's just a good old-fashioned kind of cookie. And that's my
sugar cookie.
You like a little frosting on the backside, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's something fun, dude. Keep it light. You know, sometimes you got to spruce it up, spark it up. Yeah, you know me.
Yeah, that was a good swallow. That's a good –
Yeah, on the flip side,
I'll hit my girl up.
I got an answer to this whole Samoa caramel delight thing going on that I know we were all worried about. So Samoa, they're made by a different bakery. So it depends on where you are regionally if you're going to get the Samoa or the caramel delights. Fuck
that. Who's your source?
Mash.com. I totally believe them.
This off the top of your head?
Look at how they word this. They say Samoa cookies aren't technically the same as Caramel Delights, but they're essentially the same cookie. Now think about it like this. They're fraternal twins that look very much alike, but aren't genetically identical. This is because the Girl Scouts of America have two different bakeries they work with to make their cookies. Little Brownie Bakers, who make Samoas, and ABC Bakers. Fuck them. They make Caramel Delights. They're different.
Little Brownie Bakers is a much better name for Girl Scout cookies.
Well, what other pot are you going to hear that on?
I don't know. I don't think so. That's
why
we're
one of one. Get yourself a box. Support the little ladies of, you know, troop whatever is in your neighborhood and
great girls.
Get it popping.
Yeah. All right. I love that.
Yeah.
All right. I am swallowing two people very close to my heart. My favorite actor, my favorite director. I'm swallowing Leonardo DiCaprio and Paul Thomas Anderson. There was a leak from TMZ. Somebody gave them some images of their first collaboration together as an actor and a director. If you've seen the movie Boogie Nights, originally Leonardo DiCaprio was the desired actor to play the role of Dirk Diggler, and he turned it down for a little movie called Titanic. So that's just kind of an interesting closing doors little moment right there between him and Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg obviously got the role in Boogie Nights. But now finally, 27 years later, DiCaprio and PTA are coming together for a movie. This is PTA's first movie, reportedly, that's going to be set in the modern time period. Most of his movies, There Will Be Blood, Phantom Thread, Inherent Vice. He's going back to the 70s, the 60s, the early 20th century. It's his first modern movie since Punch Drunk Love, starring Adam Sandler. The pictures of Leo in this, I'll send them to you guys, are insane. He looks like a homeless person in a robe. He has a handlebar mustache, and he's at a telephone booth. And then they had a video of it, too. It's about 90 seconds, and it's very Once Upon a Time in Hollywood when Leo goes to the trailer as Rick Dalton and freaks out. He's freaking out at the telephone booth, and you're looking at the crew as they're shooting him. It's like six or seven dudes. I'm like, where's Paul? Where's Paul? Where's Paul? Looking all over the place for him. Camera pans to the right just a little bit. Some person with a fucking iPhone recording this. There's PTA over there sitting on like a milk crate, and he just has one little camera, and he's just laughing. He's having so much fun watching Leo perform. Awesome. He's like, I love this guy. I love this. So I am beyond fired up. He's my favorite filmmaker by a fucking margin. I adore the man. Just rewatched Inherent Vice. Leo's my favorite actor. So the fact that they're teaming up, can't wait for it. I am praying, fingers crossed, knees on the ground, just absolutely praying for it to be a Christmas release like Licorice Pizza was. Pretty quick turnaround for PTA. If it's a 3-year, he took a 4-year break or hiatus from his last movie. But yeah, man, I'm fired the fuck up. I'm not sure if this gets you guys excited, that spiel right there, but like, any initial thoughts Turner, PTA, Leo? Is that your vibe?
I just rewatched Licorice Pizza the other day. Phenomenal movie.
How is it off the rewatch? Just as good or better? I saw it the one time in theaters, but
maybe better. I don't know. Probably better in theaters, just because it was like that first moment, the euphoria of when they're running towards each other at the end. It's just like, oh yes. But
I still can't believe it. Or my bad.
Did
we see that in theaters together, Turner?
You should watch it. But
we saw that together, right?
What? Yeah.
Did we see that together?
Yeah. And Babylon, I think, just right back to back. No, was it back to back? Didn't hear? I don't know. Doesn't matter. But on the flip side, I'm glad that Mark Wahlberg became Dirk Diggler, because Leo's face is just too pretty to think of him as a porn star with that big of a dick.
Yeah, imagine – that's what pisses me off. Imagine having to pick between Boogie Nights and Titanic. Hey, I'm doing coffee commercials over here. Give me a shot. I can't fucking wait till I make it. Like, that's the best problem that anybody's ever had, is choosing between Boogie Nights and Titanic. But, you know, he deserved it. He does. That's awesome.
I think Wahlberg was perfect for it, because like Dirk Diggler so often is like, he's like reaching to like the limits of like his knowledge in that movie. He plays an idiot, and Mark Wahlberg, I mean, he's not an idiot in real life, but he's definitely not as like intellectual as DiCaprio. Like, you can watch Leo in a movie,
and Leo for Titanic is
he might try to sound like it when he says things. He tries to sound pretty philosophical.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, he's just a guy with like the municipal brand.
What is Wahlberg doing every Sunday? He's like, bless up, praise up.
Yeah, with like a different celebrity in his home-built grotto that he has.
Well, now he like kind of denies Boogie Nights. He's like almost ashamed of it, because he's like a uber Catholic.
Well, that's what he has to say, but you know how he feels on the inside. He knows where he comes from.
Yeah, we all go through the seasons of life, you know?
The funky bunch.
All right, we're moving into popcorn picks now. So popcorn picks, if this is your first time listening, second time we've done this, these are just a piece of culture that we are suggesting, recommending. It could be a movie, it could be a TV show, it could be an album, a song, a mixtape. It could be really anything that we determine. It could be a sports event, something along those lines, something that we think that you should interact with and appreciate and encounter, and have a bucket of popcorn
by
your side.
Bad day to be a
do
popcorn
it.
Pick after I shit on the Boy Scouts and what they're knocking with, but let's go.
Turner, kick it off. What's your popcorn pick of the week?
Movie I just watched the other day. It's been around for a while. I feel like a lot of people have seen it. I hadn't. Threw it on. Thoroughly enjoyed myself. Warrior. UFC movie. Going at it. Two brothers. Coming from similar experiences in life and some struggles in their upbringing. Alcoholic father, played by Nick Nolte. Great alcoholic in the movie is Nick Nolte. Just always kills those roles. Same director as Miracle. It's just a good sports drama. You know, they have some great buildup for the first hour or so. It's a little longer, 2 hours, 20 minutes. In the last 50 minutes, you just get a bunch of fighting. And that's about, I don't want to spoil anything, but winner takes all, UFC, four fights, 24 hours, get after it.
Streaming on Netflix right now. Movie. I'm sure that's where you watched it. Stars Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton as the principal brothers.
Yeah,
Cerrone, this is one of your favorite movies, is it not?
I love that movie. I always fucking – I remember when I started acting, I always wanted to do three movies. I wanted to do a war movie, a boxing, a fighting movie, and a Thief movie, like an Ocean's 11 movie. So all those three, yeah, that's a badass movie, especially with Tom Hardy. And then it's also, I won't ruin anything either, but it's also, you leave the theater or it's a feel good movie too. It's a very, like, I almost fucking cried. It was just all around great movie. That's a great pick.
Yeah.
And it's something that a lot of people haven't seen either. I think a lot of people haven't ever even heard of that. Yeah. You'd love it.
What I like about it is a lot of times in sports movies, it's the good guy versus the bad guy, for better or worse. And this movie is just, they're multidimensional characters. I don't know if I'd call them both guys, but it's two people you're rooting for, right, at the end of the day, which is a little different.
I'll give the tagline really quick before moving to the next popcorn pick. Family is worth fighting for. The youngest son of an alcoholic former boxer returns home, where he's trained by his father for competition in an MMA tournament, a path that puts the fighter on a collision course with his estranged older brother. So yeah, it's a great movie, kicks ass. Haven't seen this in a long time. I don't know if I've seen this in high school. Might be worth a revisit.
Tom Hardy's a beast. his traps, bro. Over his ears. I know what you're talking about.
All right, Reesburg, what's your popcorn pick of the week? Looks like you're digging for one right now. Did you know?
No, I was deep in. So this is just a really random, like, interconnectedness to my day. I've never seen this movie, never heard of The Warrior until today. I throw on this, like, it doesn't even matter. I throw on this, like, little history thing in the background during work, just some, like, documentary or something. I'm throwing on Mankind, The Story of Us right now in the background. Could give a shit what's going on. It's just noise so I can work. Sam Sheridan. He's like, I am interested, but I know Mankind, The Story of Us isn't giving us good actual factual history. Doesn't matter. Sam Sheridan is listed as the director in it. So I looked him up, and his, like, biggest thing was, like, Warrior. I'm like, what the fuck is that? It looks pretty popular.
Oh, that's correct.
No idea. He is in it, I guess. I don't know who that is or why he is in the movie Warrior, but it was just a weird interconnectedness.
He's in Warrior. Sam Sheridan, that's who you're talking about, right, is in Warrior as Sam Sheridan.
Yeah.
And then there's also a gentleman named Brian Callen, who is in Warrior as Brian Callen.
So
and you would
both,
notice Brian Callen
UFC,
from
Brian Callen
announcers in real life or had ties. Okay. So
but he also directed a History Channel documentary series. That's interesting.
Yeah. Don't really get that. He's an ex-US Navy SEAL. It makes sense. But my popcorn pick? I got to go with something I restarted watching recently just to, see how it holds up a little bit. I scroll through TikTok too much, seeing too many of those, like, compilations where you're like, fuck, that hits so hard. It's Game of Thrones. We all have our feelings about it. I still hold strong on my feelings about the end of the series, but I'm sure most people
what are those feelings? Expound upon that.
I mean, did it end the best? I don't know. Did the writers get a little – did they think they got a little in their bag towards the end and they might have – try to be a little too cute, a little too pink.
Were they rushing because they were promised a Star Wars project that they ended up losing because of the results of the end of Game of Thrones?
Dude, probably.
Hey, Reesburg, would you say that your box out brother, Spencer Clark, who recently completed a rewatch, helped influence you to get back in?
That's a lot.
No, he hasn't talked to me about that. He keeps talking to me about One Tree Hill and trying to get me to watch it like you are.
Ew.
And I'm
don't
out.
Don't do it, Reesburg.
I'm out. Hey, sorry.
That's a big series to rewatch. That's like a commitment, man.
You talking Game of Thrones?
Needs to grow up.
Yeah, to rewatch. Yeah. I don't know if I can do that. I mean, great.
No, it's been a lot because that's the biggest thing. When you're rewatching it, you remember like why the show was awesome, but why the show was so popular during its consecutive week by week releases is because it was such a slow burn, and then all of a sudden it'd be like episode 9
Super
and 10.
Slow.
It would be like, holy shit, it was all worth it. And now when you're watching, you kind of know. It's like, this is cool, but, can we pick the pace up a little bit? I respect that about the show, but also fault it for, it's not a good rewatch. It's not the best, but I'm enjoying it because of the moments we're going to.
Flat. Right? Like, they're not like the typical...
I started skipping the recaps, skipping the intros just to be like, how can I save time? Like, here's 5 minutes I can save every episode.
I don't know how far you are, but do you have a character that the first time around, like, this was your favorite character, but now the second time around, there's a character that you're like, actually, now that I kind of know how this plays out a little bit, like, I love his storyline, or I'm leaning into this person more?
Great question. And also, this is why I'm Wolf. Right now, I'm beginning season, so I'm very Team Stark, House Stark. You know, love the dragon. They'll get there. But I'm the Wolf right now. I'm the young pup. I'm Robb Stark going to battle with his enemies. You know, he's a 17-year-old in that show, 18 maybe. And he's going to war with Tywin Lannister, who's like 60. And he's just 4-0 right now. He's 4-0. Undefeated.
Different world.
We know what happens. But to answer your question, Turner, it's got to be Theon Greyjoy. You really don't like him at the beginning. I'm not going to say you ever need to like him, but knowing his full character arc and development, you know, I feel for him a little. I don't want him, even though he's so shitty in the beginning, I don't want him to get what he has coming. He doesn't just, nobody deserves that.
Nobody deserves that, what Ramsay Bolton did to him.
But
we did the hottest TV chicks draft with Petey and Bordy earlier this week, and Bordy was criticizing me for drafting one HBO phenom, person in power, Selena Meyer from Veep, instead of another person of power, Khaleesi, Daenerys Targaryen.
Well, that was a weird
and I was thinking back to, but you know, did you understand where I was coming from? I wanted something from every kind of section of womanhood.
Berate you and just bring you down all the time.
I wanted somebody that was busy. I wanted somebody that was busy, and I wanted a MILF on my board. But if I'm going to draft anybody from Game of Thrones, it's Robb Stark's first wife, the one that gets murdered at the Red Wedding. Bad as hell. Seeing her booty, dude, that first time, like in season 3, you're like, God damn. She's also in an episode of Black Mirror, White Christmas with Jon Hamm, where she gets trapped inside of her own mind. They like extract a part of her. And yeah, we don't have to dive too deep.
She could be a good actress. She could be an A-lister.
The thing about Game of Thrones is like it might not be the easiest rewatch, but there are some episodes that just belong in like the Hall of Fame for greatest episodes of TV ever. Like season 5, episode 8, Hard Home. 6-9 or 6-8 is Battle of the Bastards. Red Wedding. 6-10 where Cersei blows up the Sept. I mean, there are just some episodes.
Whatever episode you learn that hard truth. About Jon Snow's heritage.
That hard truth?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Whatever episode that is. That is why I'm rewatching it.
Back and forth between him and, you know, Daenerys Targaryen and finding out. Just like, is this how you had to frame it?
Yeah, they framed it weird. But it is a good episode.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine writing that and then being like, holy fuck, how are we supposed to tie everything? Like, how are we going to make this all make sense? That's got to be great writing, whoever that girl was or the guy was.
George should have gave him
die.
Yeah, no,
he's
still,
alive. Still writing that last book.
He's still writing, but imagine.
Oh, I thought that didn't.
Go ahead.
I thought that was part of why they. Or was that J.K. Rowling? No, J.K. Rowling's still kicking it, right?
No, the whole thing is they just got ahead of his pace in the books.
He's not healthy. He's fat and old. Once you're fat and old and over 75, everybody's dying. But
put that on a t-shirt. Oh my god.
But like imagine getting handed like all this unreal content or like just writing from George R. R. Martin, one of the best authors of our generation, bar none. And then being asked to like, all right, now tie this all together and finish it. Like those guys just were not up for the job. They were not capable. I'm not sure if anybody really was. And in that sense, I do give them some credit and some slack. Where they fucked up was just rushing the ending. Like, if you're going to do anything, like, at least
there's a little too much pandering.
Right. Don't pander. Give these people a little bit more closure with their storylines instead of just rushing them in. But I think they were handed an impossible task. Like, this isn't their story. They don't dream about this every night. They don't live this, you know, world. They're just asked to adapt it to, you know, television. And then it became the most popular television show in the whole world. And then they had the world's expectations and pressure on them to close it all together perfectly. Nobody was going to be happy with the ending.
Dude, my favorite part of that show was when, remember when Jon Snow had to stay for, I think it was like it was probably like 6 or 7 episodes at the wall of the, like the to guard the,
just the wall. Yep.
I love that when he was at the wall with all those dogs that were like all those crazy, that was the best. I love that.
Wildlings.
Berg, what is your excitement level for House of the Dragon season 2? Would you say it's as excited as, you know, a Game of Thrones season 7 when you're anticipating that? Like, is it at that level? Because, I mean, we talked about it a lot. You're a huge fantasy person. Is that it? Let me frame it this way, actually. Out of all the shows and movies that are coming this year, is that your most anticipated thing?
I'd say yeah, but that could easily change. I'm really looking forward to Dune Part 2, but yeah, I would say so, just because of where they left us, and I like that they don't have the job of what Turner was touching on. They don't have to there's no book written about this. There's no storyline, and so there's no way. It's what I'm trying to say is it was just like a little quick synopsis written in the books is what they're going off of. They're going off, if you were like reading the Bible and you're reading about this like old history, it's very vague. So that's what they're going off of. They have to touch on key points, but they get to decide the, like the fun parts on how to get there. And I mean, House of Dragon gets us right into it. Like, we know where we're going. I don't know how long they'll stretch this show, but I think it should be shorter. I think it should be a 3-4 season thing, maybe 3 or 2 max. And they can get this story out really excitingly, action-packed. So I'm excited for it because of the amount of action, bloodshed, and death that'll happen, and dragons. It's sick.
Reese, I just played Risk, the Lord of the Rings version, the other weekend. Or actually, on Thursday, but I was thinking about you the whole time. I was like, God, I've never even seen all the Lord of the Rings. You would be fucking loving this shit.
You haven't seen the trilogy, the greatest trilogy to ever exist?
Not like that, nope.
Mike, have you seen the greatest trilogy to ever exist?
Yeah, I've never watched Star Wars, though.
Are you talking about Ocean's 11, 12, and 13? The greatest trilogy to ever exist?
No, the other one. The number one. You're talking about
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
Oceans are...
The oceans are fantastic.
Fucking good. I love... Bro, it's just like... It's just that gang of guys, man. Like, I just wish I was part of that. It's just one of those things, like... When I watch Friends, I wish I was one of their friends, man. I really do. I wish I was in that gang. You watch Ocean's 11, you're just like, man, I wish I was as cool as these guys, just robbing the
When you're in the pop-off pod group chat, you're like, damn, I wish I was from Iowa. It's must be cool to be from there.
Literally, Game of Thrones just needed Peter Jackson. They needed better directors. You know, we're talking about they had the impossible task. They did. For them, they never could have handled it. But Peter Jackson did it. He took an impossible task of 3 books, which I've never read and probably never will.
What the fuck was Peter Jackson doing the whole time? Why
he directed...
Stop?
He's probably busy. He's old. He's not doing that as much anymore, I don't think.
He made the Get Back documentary on the Beatles. All right, let's move on. Cerrone, what is your popcorn pick of the week?
Oh, okay. All right. So, I've sung this guy's praises for a while now. He's a rapper. He is, I would say, very quietly not one of the best, but one of the most underrated rappers. Every time I either go back, no, I'll let you guys guess. Every time I either go back to his old albums, this is a big hint, his collab albums, or even his recent albums, I'll go through them and just keep, you know, those artists where you go back and you find songs like, oh, and you keep adding songs from albums that you listened to but forgot. You're just, oh, this is a banger. Like, damn, this is good too. This is good too. And this guy, he also, for one of his songs that's popping off right now, I think this was this morning or yesterday, released like a super high production, like John Wick level music video. It's Key Glock. Okay. Mm-hmm. Key Glock is hands down one of the most underrated rappers. His Dumb and Dubbers with Dolph, RIP. Some of my favorite albums from cover to cover. Key Glock, those albums, it's like there's just no skips on those albums. And then even Key Glock's more recent albums, with ones with his the big yellow face, the big blue face. I'm going through it again a couple weeks ago, adding songs. He's so fucking good. He's got a great voice. He just has bars. The beats are always crazy. And yeah, for one of his the song Let's Go, which is a banger, I don't know if you guys have seen the music video yet. The production, it's like a little mini movie. It's like him and this girl, Robin. Yeah, it's like a John Wick thing. He's doing karate. He's shooting people. He's robbing banks. He's driving cars. The production's like through the roof for a music video. And this guy, again, I was gonna swallow or popcorn him. But this guy, if you haven't listened to Key Glockman, if you ever really got into him, when the game is filled with dog shit like Ice Spice farting and shitting, Key Glock comes. It's that much easier to cut through the bullshit. Give him a listen. He's got great music, and a lot of people just don't either know him or listen to him or know he's even out there. And yeah, man, his boy Young Dolph died, so he's not doing the collab. I feel like that's what kind of brought him onto the scene, was those Dumb and Dumbers and all those. But yeah, he fucking He's very quietly one of the most underrated.
Last two albums, no features. I drafted Let's Go on our 2023 song draft.
Yes.
Banger. Big Block fan. Gave a whole spiel for it. Wolf and Ralph, not as in. But you know what? You got me.
Whoa, what? Yeah,
that's all I need.
Listen back.
Are you kidding me? You're talking to two OG Key Glock guys. You guys need to sit down, young pups. I'm pretty sure Ralph put me onto Key Glock, and I've been listening to Key Glock way longer than I've been hearing you guys talk about Key Glock. I don't want to get into that battle because that's not what it's about. I'm glad we're all fans. But don't look to the left over here and say we're not.
Listen, young Dolph is one of those guys too where like you wouldn't like if Key Glock came to your town, like I don't know if you'd buy tickets. I don't know. I honestly don't know if
I'd get tickets for concert. 421 Red Rocks, go.
Then he's ripping it. But yeah, just to throw on, dude, Glock, it's just like the guy's got hits, man. And honestly, like I remember talking about this on a while ago, but like dude, like when Nipsey died, when Mac died, when Young Dolph died, like it's crazy because like the first couple weeks happen and then you're just like so pissed, you're kind of sad. But it doesn't really hit you the fact that like you'll never get any more, like I miss Young Dolph's music and we'll just never get it ever again. It doesn't really hit.
And it's not
you
the
when
same
they
when they
die.
Do the post-hop, the posthumous albums. Like the Mac album that comes afterwards, what was it, Circles? It was just like, this isn't the same.
It doesn't really hit you until it's like, fuck.
And it's a great project. Yeah. I love Circles, but it's not the same.
Ones.
Yeah, those are
Juice WRLD. Like, it's just that you'll never get. It honestly is sad.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, and it's like, it doesn't, like, I would do anything for another Dumb and Dumber, and it's just like it kind of hits you like yeah, you hear about, you know, the death and this and that, and but it's like, fuck, bro, like this is just never gonna man.
If you're trying to get into Key Glock, if you're trying to get into Key Glock, easiest way to get into him, just throw him on while you're working out because he's got the best workout albums of all time. It's that easy. Just put it on, shuffle it, play it on. It doesn't matter. It's just each song's gonna get you going.
And him and Dolph, dude, they used to just bounce off. Like it was almost like fucking Watch the Throne with fucking, like they just bounce off each other so good. It just, it sucks that is impossible to do again. But yeah, check out Key Glock. He's just very quietly one of the most underrated rappers, man. People just, he just kind of flies below the radar, but good for him.
He's a heater.
I'm looking at shouting out of him. I think he needs more attention too. I will say I think people need to play him at pregames more. He's so hype. Whenever you hear some of his songs, you just come in and it's like, I mean, he is what he is. Like I could talk for about Key Glock for a long time too. But yeah, let's spread the Key Glock this year. Let's all start playing him.
Key
more
Glock
pre-game.
Song draft coming 2027.
I'd be so down. Like why does it? Like if you were on a Drake song, like dude, he would blow the fuck up, he would kill it. Good for him.
No, it's great.
I will say, like, Key Glock, real quick, is like the most okay with Young Dolph dying. There's no other, they were a duo. There's no other artist I can think of where if another one died, it would be like he lives on so purely through Key Glock. I feel like we still got a little bit of Key Glock with, or a little bit of Young Dolph with Key Glock.
Yeah,
and Video 4 is carrying that legacy,
Bobby.
All
right. My popcorn pick is on a similar note, and then we'll close with PSH. So it's hip-hop related. We didn't draft any Yeet songs, I believe, on the 2023 song draft.
Such a big Yeet guy.
I'm a huge Yeet guy, and I've come up with a new name for the genre. I've been calling it internet trap music, almost like hyper trap, for the longest time now, ever since like he started to come onto the scene a little bit more. I'm now calling it onomatopoeia music. If you remember when Kid Cudi started kind of elevating onto the scene, you know, all of these people are obsessed with his hums, right? And that's like their big thing with him. They're like, ooh, every time Cudi hums, it's orgasmic. Like my soul feels that. Motherfucker, if you like that shit, wait till you hear Yeet. Because this dude is just like 95% that kind of vibe. It's just onomatopoeia through the roof. He has a song called Shh, where the song is literally S-H-H-H-H-H. And he just has like this addicting just ooh in the background. And it's just crack for my soul. I think Turner, you called it out on the 2023 song draft when I drafted the Lone and Ken song Paranoid. You're like that Benny X or I feel like whatever that DJ tag is at the beginning, it just like boosts your serotonin, your dopamine levels. That's yeet. Like there's some study, I think I've mentioned it on the pod before, but like this kind of music, because of the waves of it and whatnot, if you have like any semblance of ADHD, it scratches and satisfies a part of your brain because of like the instruments and synthesizers that they're using. And he pretty much exclusively works with Benny X, who I think Complex actually just named the producer of the year, which is funny. But yeah, these Cudi hums, they've just gone to the complete future. I think he's such a fascinating character too, because you know, he's just a white dude from like Portland, Oregon. He showed up at a Trailblazers game. He kind of looks like Latin a little bit. There's a hilarious Instagram reel of him dancing to New Paddock by Lil Uzi Vert, and he's wearing like an American Eagle shirt. And this is only like 5 or 6 years ago. And now he's, you know, rocking the turban, hanging out with Zach Bia and Bloody Osiris and all these Instagram influencers that are baped out and all this stupid shit. But then he's been promoting his new album, 2093, which is supposed to drop this month. And there are rumors, or not even rumors, but there's pictures of him in the studio with not just Drake, who he just appeared on for Reesburg's favorite feature of the year, I Don't Give a Fuck, on For All the Dogs. But he also is working with Childish Gambino, which is fascinating because if you know Donald Glover, he's been very invested in film and TV, working on Mr. and Mrs. Smith for Amazon Prime. And now he's working with Yeet. And the fact that guys that are like him, like real artists,
everywhere,
writers, comedians, actors, rappers, singers, Awaken My Love, because of the internet, Atlanta, I mean, he's all over the place, right? But he's like, he sees Yeet and he's like, that's a talent that I like. That kind of justifies my like interest in him for me. Like, I thought I was an idiot because I was like, I just listen to this guy because it's either background music or I can bang out to it, I can work out to it, I can hoop to it. It's all of these things. But like, fuck, is he just male Ice Spice? Like, what's my issue? Like, why do I like him so much?
For the longest time, I thought Benny X was Brainiax. But, you know, it took me a few, probably a year and a half before I like, realized that was, that's not what the tag
Benny
was.
X. Yeah. Yeah. He's the man. So, yeah, if you like Kid Cudi hums, grow up. Start listening to Yeet because, and also we should shout out Benny X. He just collabed with Cudi on his new album, which is
produced by DJ Drama.
Pretty solid album. It's a little bit different. He's going into the onomatopoeia music a little bit more. But all right, so I gave you guys kind of an assignment, and we probably should have led with this because he's. I mentioned that you know, Leo is my favorite actor. He is. He's definitely my favorite actor. But I think if he's not my second favorite actor, then he's my third favorite actor. Philip Seymour Hoffman died on this day 10 years ago due to a drug overdose. He was 47 years old.
Reesburg's looking at the first he's heard of this.
He's laughing.
I mean, it was pretty shocking.
Honestly, I just didn't know I didn't know it was the anniversary. I was like, oh, shit, okay.
Unbelievable.
I knew something happened.
Show some respect, young man.
RIP to the God, man, because I think that he is – I think he's actually like even more talented than Leo and Daniel Day-Lewis. And here's why. I'll give a brief synopsis and then we're each going to do our favorite performance of him. We've all seen The Master, correct?
Maybe. Remind me what that show is.
It's a movie with Joaquin Phoenix and Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. It's essentially a,
is that a Key Glock album?
Metaphor. It's like a metaphor. It's a metaphor for Scientology, essentially, is what it is. It's the, you know, he plays the L. Ron Hubbard character. And he was able to play that role, which is a very serious role in a very serious movie, but it has its hints of comedy. He was able to be in Boogie Nights as Scotty J, a guy who holds a boom mic during porn shoots, and he's very passable in that. It's like a gay guy who's trying to figure out his life. He's in Punch Drunk Love. So these are all PTA movies. I'm stating it first. But he's also in The Big Lebowski. He's a baseball manager in Moneyball. But I think the thing that makes him the most talented is that you guys have seen Along Came Polly, I'm sure, with Jennifer Aniston and Ben Stiller. He is Ben Stiller's best friend in that movie. And the fact that he was able to be the lead in a Paul Thomas Anderson movie, and it's maybe one of the best performances I've ever seen, flat out period, and do that seriously and dramatically, but he was also able to be in Along Came Polly and essentially just do a Chris Farley impression. Like, he's falling all over the place. I sent you guys the clip of him. It's just like a collection of his highlights in Along Came Polly, and it's the funniest fucking 3.5 minutes you'll ever see. Like, he's just like Rainmaker when he's playing basketball. He's in an elevator with a bunch of crowded people, and he, like, you believe him when he says it. He goes, oh, I'm so friggin' horny. He popularized the word shart. Like, shart was really a thing before he started saying it in that movie. And he's a Mission Impossible 3 as a villain. He's so fucking demonic in that movie. And I just think his versatility is second to none. He was able to hide in the background of a movie, and not even hide, but really bring life to a character that shouldn't have had any life to it. But he was also able to lead your movie and be, yeah, literally give probably the second or third best performance I've ever seen outside of Daniel Day-Lewis.
Ice Spice's follow-up single to Think You the Shit Fart, just sharp.
Sharp. Good pullback.
Yeah, have Nikki do that to end her career.
But I'm curious, like, as somebody who's, you know, a quote-unquote film douche, I love this guy. But I loved him growing up, too, before I became, like, really invested in movies. Do you guys have a relationship with him? Is this somebody that are, because I'm a little bit different for our generation when it comes to this stuff. You guys love movies too, right? But does he carry that same level of weight? Is it a little bit less? Is it a lot less? What are your guys' initial thoughts when I just say Philip Seymour Hoffman and you see a picture of a guy that looks like this?
Yeah, or I mean, I can go first. Yeah, I it's kind of funny you talking about that, because that just kind of made me think about something. Because yeah, a lot of times he's not the lead in a lot of things, but he's always, he's always in there. And you always remember him, which I think is huge, and this just dawned on me literally like 30 seconds ago when you're talking about it. Cause one of the thing my acting coach always tells me, he goes, you don't understand, you know, if you have one line or if you have 100 lines, just make it so people remember you or remember that one line, or why are they going to bring you back on set the next day? What do you bring that the audience is going to remember, that they're going to like? And it doesn't matter how many lines you have or scenes you have, just why are they going to bring you back on set tomorrow? You got to just be memorable for your audience. And he does that, because he does do so many things. I remember him in Moneyball, Long Came Polly, all that stuff. And yeah, you're right. The range with him is insane. And rest in peace, big guy. And not like, I guess right off the bat, one of your like favorite actors, or you're one of your most popular actors, but a guy that's just so skilled. And he comes across as like that guy. Like, I bet he was so respected by his peers thing. Like all the, like just an actor's actor. I remember Downey Jr. calling Killian that, like, he's just like an actor's actor, because there's actors that are not respected by their peers, you know,
that are really famous, right? Yeah, like, you know, he's like immediately revered, like, because exactly. He was able to do all of those things. Like, you never forgot him. I love that you said that. Turner, what are your thoughts on PSH? You just rewatched Licorice Pizza. You saw his son Cooper Hoffman
That's cool. He shares he looks just like him in a weird way, like a younger version.
Pudgy, big, yeah.
I can't say that I am just quite as deep of a ties to Philip Seymour Hoffman. Obviously, I love him in Boogie Nights. He steals the show in that movie, full of young and upcoming actors. He's such a weirdo in that movie.
Such a fucking idiot. I'm a fucking idiot.
It was weird to see him like in Hunger Games.
I want
to
kiss you on the mouth.
It was weird to see him in The Hunger Games, like his final movie, because it felt like, no offense to Philip Seymour Hoffman or The Hunger Games, but he's above that a little bit in terms of like his quality of being an actor. The movie I saw for the first time this year that he's just the classic character actor in is Almost Famous. He plays kind of the radio jock that's providing the young kid that's out on his way writing stories about the rock band.
That's one of my favorite movies. You're right.
Yeah, he's telling him how to, do this or do that. And he just really encapsulates that character, becomes him. You could totally see him being that guy in real life too. Movie. So, 10 years is a long time. I can't believe it's been that long. It makes me feel old.
10 years ago?
Yeah, 10 years ago, he overdosed. And he was a guy, with drug problems.
I would
problems,
have said he died
like,
last year. That's insane.
Yeah, it flew by.
If was still alive, he would write one of the best autobiographies right now. Like, that's like what we would have gotten 10 years today. Like, right now, he would have been getting the rollout for his autobiography. He's sober, he's clean, he's looking back on the world, looking back at his life and where he's been a part of. And that's where I get sad or miss out the most, of like, not only is the acting, a travesty that he left us, but it's just the stories,
the person,
the person, and the things he had to share.
And there's a like devastating line in retrospect on Faces by Mac Miller. I can't remember what song it is, but he says, a drug addict like Philip Hoffman will probably put me in a coffin. And it, like, just thinking back on that, like, two of my favorite artists ever, both passing away from drugs, is just, it's devastating. But on a lighter note, Reesburg, you love the movie Talented Mr. Ripley. Is one of your favorite lines when he just appears and he goes, yeah, look at the look on your face.
His appears and he goes, just lit up.
I forgot he was even in it.
How can you forget this? He goes, oh God, don't you wish you could just fuck every woman in the world just once? And that's not exactly what it is, but it's something along those lines. Like, he was able to deliver those lines and you're like, God damn it. This, nobody else could do it like him.
Yeah.
And then he gets a quick back from Jude Law just once, and then they die laughing together because he's like, you were so gluttonous. You know, I love to go back. Great performance with him, because he just, he kind of plays a similar character to like what he does in Along Came Polly. Like, you said that Chris Farley thing, but it's that like obnoxious, but like weird sex appeal when like he's not a good looking man conventionally, but he still brings that. I've never quite wrapped my head around that yet, but he's an actor. He's an actor that I have a short list of actors that I'll kind of put all of their movies on my watch list. He definitely goes on there. I haven't seen a lot, but I wanted to talk about his Hunger Games role that we brought up. That it was his last thing.
This is the one movie we're pointing out.
You love good. That, huh?
Well, we brought
this
up some good ones.
This is killing me.
A Talented Mr. Ripley, great movie. The original Saltburn, if you haven't seen it, watch The Talented Mr. Ripley. If you can get through it, it's very disturbing. Rolls across the board by everybody. But in The Hunger Games, I just think it's beautiful. Like, it's such bad acting. It's such a they're such bad movies. I've rewatched them like twice.
They're
way
not
too many
bad.
Times.
They're not
they
bad.
Are.
They're
just, they're
like,
are.
They're, like they're Turner 40. Said. Yeah,
they're
sure, but they're
expect.
You know, they were successes for a reason. They were for adolescent teens. Like, that's just what they were for. They weren't for 26-year-old dudes that are like, ooh, I want to discover the new
year old
life with this
seem
movie.
To like them.
In my subjective opinion, they're bad movies, and they're carried by certain stars. There is Woody Harrelson, who carries those movies. If he's not in them, I don't think people look at them as much. And then there is Philip Seymour Hoffman when he comes in as the second game maker, Plutarch Evansby. And he just kind of steals – it's him and Woody. They're never in scenes together as much, but it's like when they're on screen, they're you kind of forget Katniss who, like PETA who. Like, you're just so focused on these characters. So it was really going to be – shout out him for getting his bag. You know, maybe he knew something was coming. And
was
then
say,
also
yeah.
shout out him for just – elevating a movie that otherwise right. would not have been elevated with anybody else in his role.
I think J-Law is one of the best actresses of this generation. It just shows how poorly her character was written, because there was no – it was kind of like Kristen Stewart in –
Great comparison.
Yeah, where it's like, where's the emotional range? It just feels a little dull. Mm. But Philip Seymour Hoffman died from a heroin overdose. I don't want to get too into that, but – he's got to be one of the last stars that dies from a heroin overdose. I feel like nowadays it's just a little different. Like the 90s, that was just a prevalent drug, and I feel like we've kind of moved on from that. Our star actors, rockers, nowadays you see a little something different. That just always just blows my mind, like how prevalent heroin was amongst the Hollywood community back in the day, and now it doesn't seem to pop up as
it's just
much.
Just blow now.
Blow.
Yeah, it's
a blow.
And it's devastating, but like, he never really glorified his drug abuse, and I'm not saying that some people do, but you know, there's, I guess I'm kind of insinuating
sure,
that.
Some people
like,
do. Some people are a little like, bit more
some
open
people,
about it. And,
but he like didn't do interviews. He rarely did anything along those lines. Like, he was very kept to himself, and I think that's why he's so fascinating, because you know, in his movies, he's a fucking chameleon. He would take a character, he wouldn't do what Daniel Day-Lewis did, where he's like, if I'm going to play Reynolds Woodcock in Phantom Thread, I'm going to spend a year and a half designing dresses. He wasn't that kind of actor, but you know, he was very picky about what roles he took. So I think it's so interesting that he's like, I'm just gonna be a manager in this Brad Pitt baseball movie, and they're going to call it Moneyball, I guess, and I'll just be frustrated in it. But that's what I want to do this year. And he would just do that. But he would also appear in like 3 to 4 movies a year, because he wasn't always the lead. But then when they needed him to be the lead, then he could, like,
someone
say I hope you guys watch The Master.
That's almost like an Alex Moran theory. Not the backup quarterback, but someone say that's like the best way to fucking do it. You get none of the heat when the movie's bad, and you're still getting paid God knows how much.
And he's never bad. He's always good. Yeah. He always takes the movie and just raises a little bit. The Big Lebowski, for example. He just plays the butler in that movie. And his reaction, he takes out Jeff Bridges after he gives him a tour of the mansion, and he sees Tara Reid looking like a smoke show. She's like bathing, and she looks at the Big Lebowski, and she says to him, "I'll suck your cock for $1,000, but Brant can't watch." And Philip Seymour Hoffman's reaction in that moment is just like the cringiest, awkwardest laugh, and like I can't see anybody else doing it, man. Like he's just the one of one for me. And I mean, Leo is amazing, but there's never going to be a movie where Leo isn't the lead. It's just the reality of it. Like, he's not going to be the sixth listed guy on the guest on the casting. De Niro, he wouldn't do that. It's a different era, like where he kind of operates in his own zone, where he could be the lead and he could be the supporting actor, and he was going to crush it no matter what.
Do you have anybody that comes to mind that like plays great character actors today and just kind of pops in and has that ability?
That's a great question. I'm not sure about today as much. I would say like. Yes, in a way, but I don't know if he could. But I don't know if he could lead a movie like Philip did. Like I don't, fuck. Because I so Killers of the Flower Moon, originally was like the plot was going to be more concentrated on the detective, and Leo was going to play the detective in Killers of the Flower Moon. That was the original script, right? But then Leo was like, "I'm more fascinated in Molly Burkhart's husband." I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but the fucking idiot. I think it's Ernest. Yeah. And so they completely inverted it, and they're like, okay, we need somebody to play the detective now. Let's bring in a good character actor. So, and they kind of look alike, too, Plemons and Hoffman, but I can't see Plemons.
I was going
to
say, for
a
weird second, yeah, they do look very similar.
I Googled this, so I'm not even trying to steal credit. Just like, hey.
But he isn't as talented, I don't think.
Michael Pena is a great one. Great character actor. Pops into movies, steals the scene. He could be a lead guy. Paul Giamatti, maybe one of the best.
I think that's the best one.
Actor can lead a movie. We just saw him in The Leftovers.
Gary Oldman, great movie.
Gary Oldman's kind of like the same age as Philip Seymour Hoffman. He's led movies. He can pop in and be, you know, a second character.
One of the best actor.
Like the Batman movies, you know, the Batman series as, you know, the lead.
Oppenheimer. Character. He shows up for one scene in Oppenheimer and crushes it.
Those are the guys. Those are, I mean, but even then, like, not, do any of them really match Philip
I think
Seymour
Oldman's
Hoffman?
The closest, actually. I think that's a really good comp. Good point about them. William H. Macy, kind of in that same vein, too. A guy who is also in Boogie Nights. His wife keeps on getting fucked right in front of him, and he's just little Bill, ends up killing himself in that movie. I guess they kind of have similar. If you haven't seen Boogie Nights, you shouldn't be listening to this pod. Go watch Boogie Nights, man.
Came out in the 90s.
God, that's a great question. You know who I think could get to this level? And I don't see him in anything anymore. You might need to Google him to remember his face. But he's young. I think he's our age, actually. He's in the Chalamet zone of age. It's Lucas Hedges. He was in Lady Bird as Lady Bird's gay boyfriend. I guess I'm just spoiling everything right now.
Dude, God.
He was in Manchester by the Sea.
What about
I think
Barry
he could lead
Keegan?
In movies. Yes. I don't think he's as talented as Philip. I think
that's
like,
the best comparison we've heard all of the show.
But like,
who's the guy that plays what's his name? He plays the main character in Barry.
Oh, Bill Hader.
Oh.
I feel like that guy's very talented.
He is. He's tremendously talented, but he's more interested in writing, directing than he is. I mean, he's the lead in Barry. I'm not sure if I would buy it. Like, again, like, it has to be, all right, so whoever the next PTA is going to be, I don't know who it's going to be. But, like, you have to be able to lead an Oscar-nominated movie, something that's going to make $60, $70 million at the box office, not be, like, a global hit or anything like that. But then you also have to be able to appear in a comedy, right, like Along Came Polly. And it has to be believable when you go out to lunch with Ben Stiller that you guys are getting a slice of pizza, that you take Ben Stiller's slice of pizza and you dump the grease on his pizza onto yours, and then you start eating it. Like, that's impossible.
Part of the problem is the movies today, though, is just – you need to have a blockbuster with a lead, or you have straight to streaming. There's not a lot of middle ground to explore those spaces.
You're exactly right. There's no middle ground.
You know who I think actually might fit this mold, and now we're just naming actors, is Ayu Itabiri. And it's totally different. You know, she's a black woman, not a white male, but she's in The Bear as Jeff Sidney. She is hilarious. And I think that people with comedy backgrounds are actually better suited for this. And she hasn't gotten necessarily the opportunity to be in a lead in a drama yet, but she was a lead in Bottoms, which was really funny. But she's a very gifted dramatic actor if you've watched The Bear, and I think that she could get there.
You think we're just going full circle here? You think it's really Cooper Hoffman that we're not naming? He's next up. Like father,
he's been
like
in
son.
One thing. He was amazing in Licorice Pizza, but like he's got to be in more stuff. He's got to get casted by somebody. He has to be casted by somebody other than his dead dad's best friend.
Hell like, yeah.
Philip and PTA or BFS.
Speaking of IO, Molly Gordon, all time. Love her.
Yep.
She's my favorite.
That's your type. That's your type for sure. All right. So before we get out of here, I want to thank you guys. Hour 40, longest teapot pod in a while.
Random receivers, we just name random actors and just riff a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, this is the pod where you can get random receivers, random backup shooting guards in the NBA. You know,
we went from Key Glock to Girl Scout cookies to Mahomes' pepperoni nipples. I mean, we got range, gentlemen.
And we ended on Time Flies by Mac Miller. So that was beautiful.
Yep. Oh, nice. That is a good wrap. All right, so yeah, thank you guys for listening. We love you. We appreciate you. This crew will be back again next Thursday. Mike and I will be back with Petey and Bordy on Monday, doing our best not to get canceled on those episodes, really whatever we can.
Yeah,
no bleeps Jesus on Christ. This episode, so good job by you guys. You made my life easier. But everybody have a great weekend. We love you. We appreciate you, and we will see you on the other side. Peace out.